Well, today on the broadcast, I have sort of a strange title, but it represents a great tragedy that we are facing in the ranks of religious leadership, Christian leadership today. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And I want to talk to you about the shortage of future leaders. The shortage of future leaders. A shortage of new leaders training for future service is prelude to manpower tragedy. It is a beginning to hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. On the mission field, thousands of longtime missionaries will soon have to come home because of health and old age. Nearly every town has several churches looking for pastors they cannot find. There is a very real shortage of full-time workers, and fewer than ever are preparing to enter the field. I will simply attempt to shed light on the problem from my observation, experience, and most of all from the Word of God. It is first easy to spot most of our youth as a universal tragedy, for they have shallow commitment. You know, Mom entertained every evangelist that ever came to our church. I had to get out of my bed and go sleep out in the hall, and they would be there in my bedroom. My wall, after they left, several of them were filled with pictures of these great men of God. And as a boy, 12, 13, I had made up my mind I was going to be like them, a servant of God. Throngs of possible candidates for future service are simply coasting in their Christian faith. I see them standing in the back of our meetings, young men that should be really making up their mind, "I'm going to college this fall, and I'm going to develop to be something for Jesus." And yet they just sort of stand back there and say, "Well, not sure what I'm going to do," or they stand there wound around some silly little girl's finger when they're not even ready to consider marriage. But they have decided on salvation of the soul, but not on surrender to the Savior. Today's Christianity calls for no cross, no suffering, no total dedication, and no surrender. Romans 12:1 cries, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It is very clear that there are far more things to think about to please God than one's salvation. There is failure to put first things first, along with unforgiveness to stand alone and serve the Lord. Full-time service does demand earthly sacrifice, but offers such great eternal reward. Paul said that no man that cares entangled himself with the cares of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. 2 Timothy 2:4. If you cannot remember a time of total surrender, and you call yourself a Christian, you need to have one and stick with it. Millions of today's young Christians have a wrong sense of values. To be religiously correct, one must press for success and worldly gain. The child of God is bombarded with plans of popularity, possessions, and position. Yet little thought is given to what really matters in the light of eternity. The love of things, including money, eclipsing one's desire to find and do the will of God. The Bible urges, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth," Colossians 3:2. To be earthly-minded is to be heavenly-limited. Our level of reward and position of heavenly service is being decided by our earthly actions. Earthly involvement guarantees loss, but heavenly efforts are forever. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then there's Mark. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. We should rather be content with such things as we have. Hebrews 13:5. Earth's possessions and achievements will fall away when we leap to the skies. The most glory will be showered upon us who serve with heaven's values in view. I have noted in many a sad love of human security. They seek to wrap themselves in what they consider sure, reachable, easily realized career planning. Faith seems fine for salvation, but an unpopular foundation for lifetime service. After all, one must carefully plan on every detail of life and have all the creature comforts possible. We have a tendency to love the praise of men more than the praise of God, John 12:43. And most seek their own and not the things which are Christ's, Philippians 2:21. Many are not willing to take the risk and set aside personal goals and by faith seek the path of obedience. None of us who've walked the path of total commitment should say it's easy, but it's the best way to go. Others, I think, would serve God if they were not given too many diversions. Our pace of fast living engulfs us in a daily conflict of activities. Each day is so crammed that the Bible is neglected, prayer is unsaid, and time to consider the will of God is pushed aside. I find many that have never taken time to get to a quiet place and seek God's will by reading the Word. The horrendous bombardment of the world's entertainment smothers the still small voice of the Lord. The command is to turn from vanities unto the living God, Acts 14:15. One cannot spend every waking moment with one's nose to the grindstone of society. There must be clear, established priority. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Many a car, a girlfriend, or a pastime has kept a future servant from finding God's best for them. Further hindrance to knowing the will of God comes from defeated living. 1 John 2:15-17 says, love not the world. Youth is a thrilling time, but one must flee youthful lust and must keep yourself pure. One must not waste time and the talents that God has given you by doing things of the world when you should be doing the things of the Lord. It becomes a daily battle to shut out all that hinders and to forbid Satan to confuse and mislead your steps. Careless spent days of youth can so ruin your life that the Lord will look elsewhere for a servant. Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. used to say, never sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. Boy, that's a tremendous statement. Don't allow defeated living to destroy the glory of His chosen service that God planned for you. Follow His command. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Leviticus 27. Further damage comes from blighting friendships. I have a saying that always brings a chuckle in our meetings. I'll say to the folks, you can't run with a skunk and smell like a rose. And it's very, very true. A lot of young people today try to run with one crowd all during the week, and then come and sit with a pious look on your face at church time with some other rebellious ones that didn't want to come either. Those who will seek the will of God must fly as eagles and not flock with turkeys. Peer pressure is a very dangerous tool, and it has nothing to do with a boat bumping against the dock. It has everything to do with people saying to you, come on, come on, be like us. You must remember that friendship of the world is enmity with God, James 4:4. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, 2 Timothy 4:10. Much irreparable damage results from friendship, which focuses the mind on the worldly and obscures the challenge of the eternal. Proverbs 4:14 says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Most public school students will laugh at scorn if you talk of serving Christ with your life. Even in a Christian school, there are those who will throw cold water on your dream of godly service. Dating and marriage out of the will of God will further sabotage your future. The command is to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. When you finally decide to get married, there better be no doubt in your mind that both of you belong to the Lord Jesus. You are both children of God. I've counseled with hundreds of youths who hung the millstone of an unsaved wife or husband around their necks. Careful selection of your friends will enhance the probability you will end up in the service of the Lord, or not at all. Why not say with the psalmist, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts, Psalm 119:63. Frankly, I am also saddened by parent failure. Many Christian parents failed to direct their children towards Christian service. I knew from the very beginning that the next thing I would do after college, or after high school, would be college. Dear parent, you must not fail to help your offspring to consider his service and his will for them. Teach your children to be content in such things as you have. Hebrews 13:5. By godly example and daily precept, teach them to set your affections above. Remember what God said about Abraham, for I know him he will command his children, and they'll keep the things and his household after him, and they'll keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment. Genesis 18:19. We parents must not fail to leave behind us those of our children who will never serve the Lord because we didn't direct them that way. Then there's the scarcity of church challenge. Most youth departments plan pleasure activities but fail to offer service opportunities. We need to learn the joy of serving Christ early in life. Church leaders must not let it be said of their youth, for all seek their own and the things which are Christ Jesus. Young people who have to be taught to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Let's no longer squander the talents of our youth, but teach those around us to remember thy Creator and the days of thy youth. And then I think, in moving towards the close, we lack love and appreciation for the things of God. The huge price we pay for our salvation can hardly be comprehended. He suffered, he bled, he agonized for our sins, he endured the pangs of hell and what we deserved. Christ was made to be sin for us. He left the brightness of his home in heaven and descended to the darkness of this world. True, our salvation is free, but we certainly owe him something, don't we? Should we not manifest our love and our appreciation? And then there's the problem of trusting faith. In the climate of today, there's so many that are afraid to launch out by faith. I keep hearing about the high cost of college, and we've forgotten that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Can he not milk or slaughter a few to meet your needs? Sure he can, if you'll trust him. Those who serve God are clearly promised, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:9, in the will of God you are safer in an African jungle than the cities of America. Come on, young person, where is your faith? Again, we're told to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The world has yet to see what the Lord will do with a man that is totally committed to him. And then lastly, there's a frightful lack of vision among our Christians. Our present world seems to be reeling under the onslaught of sin, and the fields, no doubt, are white unto harvest, John 4:35. But so many people hesitate to press the battle, and certainly they surrender to things that are not helpful. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth labors into his harvest. Matthew 9:37. Consider the privilege and opportunity of being one of God's best. And remember, where there is no vision, the people perish. Oh, parent, encourage your children to do something with their talents for the glory of God, and you yourselves do everything in your power to back them and encourage them all the way until God calls you home. And remember, it's very, very clear, the will of God is always better than the plans of man. Father, direct these hurried thoughts, and may they be a great blessing to those who've listened, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.